take your Bibles and turn with us to Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm chapter 46. And as you're turning there this morning, we just sang that song, "He Keeps Me Singing." And that's sort of, kind of, the thought theme for the message this morning, looking at the thought of a call to trust God in troubling times. A call to trust God in troubling times. Of course, here in Psalm 46, this, of course, is one of the psalms that is traditionally attributed to the sons of Korah. This psalm in particular, we find it to be a very powerful celebration. We find it to be a declaration of God's protection, of His unwavering protection, of His unwavering presence, His love, His care, His concern, His compassion during times that we might find ourselves in trouble, during those times that we might find ourselves in crisis. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have a God that is ever present in those times of trouble, those times of crisis, that when it doesn't seem like we know what to do, we have a God that He knows exactly what to do and when to step in and intervene. And now, just for our purposes and for sake of time, we're eventually going to see all 11 verses this morning, but for sake of time, notice there, if you would, and this is actually the key verse, Psalm 46, and notice, if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And that's exactly the thought that I want us to look at for a few moments this morning, refuge and strength. That's exactly who our God is this morning. He is our refuge and our strength. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You again for this day. And Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank You for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in Your house on a Sunday morning to sing Your praises and open Your word, to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian that have us to be. Now, Father, this morning, I just pray You'd fill me with Your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of You and You alone, and may the message this morning be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these Your people. Lord, above that, though, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord, they not leave this place without getting that settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. Lord, now just quiet our hearts, help us focus on You and You alone. Come down, meet with us in a special and real way as only You can. And for all that You'll do, we'll be careful to give You the praise, the honor, the glory. We love You and we need You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we see here from Psalm 46 a very wonderful thought when we really think about that, and that is that in times of crisis, in times of trouble, in times of turmoil, in times that we have fear and uncertainty and, whatever else, anxiety or, someone says something to us and we think, okay, what do they really mean by that? No matter what it is that we find ourselves in situation-wise, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a believer in God, we can have confidence in God's power. We can have confidence in God's presence, and we can have confidence in God's providence, and we can have confidence in God's providing. And so there's three things I want to see here this morning from Psalm chapter 46. And the first thought that I want us to see and focus on this morning is very simply this thought of refuge. This thought of refuge. Notice there, if you would, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. The Bible again says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We see here that word refuge in verse number one, it has the idea of being a safe place. It has the idea of being a shelter, a hiding place from danger. In the Bible here, the writer of this psalm says this is what God is. That when you face danger, your God is a safe place. He is a shelter. He is a hiding place that you can run to, that you can go to, and you can get away from that danger. You can get away from that trouble. You can get away from that crisis or that chaos or whatever it is that you face. You can run to that place of refuge. You can get to that God who is that refuge. Then he says, not only is he a refuge, but he says, God is our strength. God is our strength. That, of course, refers to God's might. That refers to his power. That there is nothing too hard for God to protect. There is nothing too hard for God to sustain. As I was reading this text this week, and as I was studying the background of it, I couldn't help but think of the old Sunday school chorus. There's nothing too hard for my God. There's nothing he cannot do. I think that's how it goes. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And as I was reading this verse, that's what I thought of it. Because that's who our God is. He is so big and so strong and so mighty that there's nothing that he cannot do. There's one of the Sunday school choruses in our hymn book. He's able. He's able. Yes, he's able. Whatever it is we think about asking our God to do this morning, we have to realize that he is an able God, that he can do it, and that he is that refuge, and that he is that strength. And then you notice there, the end of verse number one, the psalmist says he is a very present help in trouble. That just tells us the immediacy of God's personal involvement, his nearness in times of trouble. You wake up at 3 a.m. and you have something on your heart. You have something on your mind that has troubled you from the day before. You have this assurance from the Word of God that our God is a very present help in trouble, and that you can go to him at 3 a.m. and you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that when you go to him in prayer, he is hearing you as you pray. You know, you ever try to call somebody at 3 a.m? How many times does it go to voicemail? Probably 9 times out of 10. I know if you try to call me at 3 a.m, mainly because I keep my phone on silent, I probably shouldn't do that. But my phone's on silent, so you call me at 3 a.m, unless you call a couple times, I don't see it on the first go-round. But with God, you call him, and the first time you call him, you get an answer. You know, you think about calling somebody, and again, it goes to voicemail, or you send somebody a text message, and, you know, they don't respond for 2 or 3 days. And, you know, with God, it's not like that. He's a very present help in trouble. You go to him in prayer, he's hearing you right there as you pray. But then notice again, verses 2 and 3. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Even if the most frightening natural disasters occur, you think of maybe the earth being shaken for an earthquake, the mountains falling into the sea, you think about a hurricane or an earthquake or a storm or a tornado or a snowstorm or whatever it is. No matter what happens, the Bible here says, as God's people, we need not fear. We think of these chaotic images here. And these images here in Psalms, it shows the worst possible turmoil that someone could possibly endure. And yet the psalmist affirms that God is bigger than these fears. God is bigger than any disaster that we face. And from these three verses, we see that no matter the circumstances, again, be it a personal crisis, be it a natural disaster, be it a societal upheaval, whatever the case may be. Everybody was so worried about the election last week that, whoever won, whoever lost, there was going to be trouble in the streets or, society was going to come apart at the seams. Listen, society could have come apart at the seams last week and God still would have been in control. God still would have been on the throne. God still would have been in charge. And it doesn't matter to the disaster, God is still in control. And believers this morning, as Christians, as those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can find peace even in the most catastrophic of events, knowing that God's sovereignty is greater than any earthly calamity. Yesterday, I got a text message on Thursday from a pastor friend over in Elmira, and a couple of his members had a friend over here at the hospital, and wanted to know if I could go visit the friend up in the hospital. And so I went up yesterday, and she was in the ICU. And but as I was going in, I was checking in there to make sure I had the right room number and different things. I noticed off to the side these three individuals, and this one man, he was just there crying uncontrollably. And so I walked into the ICU, and I stopped a little bit, and I sometimes, Lord just speaks to you and says, you need to do something here. So I turned around, and I kind of motioned to the lady that was with him to come to me, and that's not creepy at all, somebody in the hospital saying, come here. No, but she came over, and I said, well, I noticed that your friend here is crying. What's going on? And, his dad had just been in a very bad car accident, and they were waiting on family to come up to make a decision whether to keep him on life support or take him off life support. And so I asked, and it was the son who was crying. And so I asked the son if it would be all right if I went back and just had prayer with his dad. And I went back, had prayer with his dad, and then those three came in a little bit later. And the one gentleman who was with him, I don't know the relation or whatever, but the one who was consoling the one fella, I mean, he just started, quoting scripture and, quoting things from the Bible and promises from the Bible and how that, even if the dad didn't wake up, that he's going to wake up in heaven. And so you could tell that there was a strong faith there, a strong faith in God. And I remember what I was preaching this morning, and it just was this put in action that no matter what we go through, God is there. He's with us each step of the way. He's there putting his spiritual arms around us, so to speak, to comfort and to guide us and to give us this compassion. And no matter what we face this morning, we need to remember that God's sovereignty is greater than any earthly calamity that we face. But we see the refuge first this morning. Then secondly, we see the presence. We see the presence. Notice, if you would, verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7. The Bible says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms removed, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So again, here we see this in verse number 4. Again, we see the thought of waters and the river. And the river here is symbolic of God's provision. It's a symbol of His peace, of His life-giving presence. And it contrasts, you notice again there in verses 2 and 3, the verses 2 and 3 talks about the roaring waters. But then we get to verse number 4 that highlights the tranquility that is going to be found in God's city. The city of God, of course, being Jerusalem, but also representing the presence of God among His people. And listen this morning, when you know that you have the very presence of God, it doesn't matter how much the rivers roar, because with God you can still have, as the Bible calls it, that peace that passes all understanding. You can still have that peace of God. And even in the midst of the chaos, God's presence offers peace and joy and hope and compassion to those who trust in Him. Verse number 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. So because we have that peace in God, because we have that tranquility in God, the phrase there, she shall not be moved, it has the idea of being stability, of having stableness, of being stable in God's presence as God's people. We have a stability that is found firmly and is established firmly in God and God alone. And you notice there that phrase at the end of verse number 4, I'm sorry, at the end of verse number 5, and that right early. And that right early. That means that God's help comes. But it just doesn't come, you know, a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now. No, that phrase literally means His help comes quickly. So when you need God's help and you go to God for help, the Bible says it comes, and it comes quickly, implying that, guess what? He's never late in delivering His people. God is always right on time. You know, now to us, sometimes we think and we look at things God does and the way He answers prayer, and we, you know, sometimes we say to ourselves, man, God, couldn't you have answered that about a week ago? Or a month ago? Or a year ago? Well, guess what? It wasn't time for it to be answered. It wasn't His time to answer it then. But when He did answer it, and when He did help with it, He was right on time. He wasn't late. He's not ever too early. He's always right on time, right when we need it. Verse number 6 there, or still looking at verse number 5, we see that we are rooted in God. We're unshaken, even in that face of adversity, and we can trust in His timely intervention. And then verse number 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered His voice, the earth melted. Again, this has the idea of, you know, again, with that society. If society falls apart at the seams, the nations may rage, kingdoms rising and falling. But the Bible says that the voice of God is what holds the ultimate power. The voice of God is what can melt and dissolve all human efforts, can melt and dissolve all human efforts, because it doesn't matter what happens in our world, because it is, again, ultimately God that is in control. And you see, that's the greatest thing this morning, is that the temporary chaos of worldly politics, of national upheaval, it's no match for the power of God's voice. It's no match for who He is. And as Christians and as God's children this morning, we need to trust in, again, His sovereignty over all earthly authorities, over all things that happen in our world. We need to just realize that it is Him, it is God who is in control. And then verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That title, Lord of Hosts, is a title given to God that is his title as commander of the heavenly armies. And so there we see that it emphasizes that, hey, this is somebody that he has some power behind him. This is somebody that has some authority behind him. And this power, this authority, it doesn't come from any human source. It doesn't come from any earthly source or some earthly power. No, this is a heavenly power. This is a heavenly authority. And that is who the Lord of Hosts is. And then you see that the title given to God is the God of Jacob. That is dealing with the covenant, the promise that God made with his people, his faithfulness to his promises. In other words, we can take from this that God, he says, okay, if I make a promise, then I'm going to keep that promise. And so you go throughout your Bible, you read your Bible, Genesis to Revelation, you find promises of God for the believer. You can take those promises with a surety that if God made those promises, then God is going to keep those promises. You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, again, sometimes somebody makes a promise to us, right? Or we make a promise to somebody. And you know, we have all good intentions to keep those promises, but then life happens, things come up, and we understand that. And so we go with that, and we work with that, and we roll with the punches, but we have a God that, guess what? Nothing ever comes up. Guess what? And if something does come up, he can take care of both things, because that's the power he has. That's the authority he has. And you notice there again, verse 7, the Lord of Hosts is with us. So not only do we have his refuge this morning, but we have his very presence with us this morning. And so we see his refuge, we see his presence, and then thirdly and finally this morning, we see his stillness. We see his stillness. Notice there, if you would, verses 8 through 11. Psalm chapter 46, verses 8 through 11. The Bible says, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And here it is, the key verse of this, verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And so here, as we wrap up Psalm chapter 46, we see that the psalmist begins to invite the reader to now reflect on God's mighty acts, both past and present, but especially in bringing about judgment and deliverance. You notice there in verse number 8, it refers to it as what desolations. That word desolation simply means destructions. And these desolations are not merely a reference to ruin, but they are a reference to God's power over the nations, his ability to bring about his will. And you know, sometimes as Christians this morning, we need to just, at times in our life, we need to take time to reflect on God's power. We need to take time to reflect on God's authority. We need to take time to reflect on things he's done in the past, recognizing that he's able to do it in the present, remembering that he's able to do it in the future, and just remembering that God is in control of all things. We need to remember that this morning. Verse number 9 emphasizes that God's ability to bring peace, that he has the ability to dismantle the tools of war and of conflict, that God's power brings lasting peace and transcends human effort. And as Christians this morning, we need to trust that God, who is the ultimate peacemaker, is able to end conflict, whether it's in the world, whether it's in our nation, or whether it's in our personal lives. You know, especially being married sometimes, guess what? There's conflict in the marriage. Guess what? God's able to help with that if we put Him at the center of that marriage. In the church, there can be conflict in the church, but if we put God in the center, then God can help resolve that conflict. And so no matter what it is this morning, if God is at the center, if we remember His power, if we remember His authority, if we remember He is in control over everything, then those conflicts can be worked out. Those conflicts can end. But then notice verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That phrase, be still, is a call. In other words, God is saying, hey, stop your striving. Stop your anxiety. Stop your fear. It's an invitation to rest and recognize God's control. It's an invitation to rest and recognize God's sovereignty. It's an invitation to realize that even in those things that you want to control, but you can't control, He is in control and He can control. And He says, be still. He says, hey, stop your worry. Stop your anxiety. Stop your fear and know that I am God. That's a reminder for us this morning. That God, He's the ultimate authority. He's the ultimate source of peace in all situations. And this verse assures us this morning that God's exaltation is inevitable. His name will be lifted up among all nations. The Bible tells us, I believe it's Thessalonians, that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is God of all. Listen, right now there's a world out there that they reject God. There are people out there today, they reject God, that they refuse to acknowledge God. They want nothing to do with God. But here God says, one day, it's inevitable. One day, my name will be exalted. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And in those moments of chaos and anxiety, we are called to pause, to reflect, to trust that God is in control, that His purposes will be fulfilled, and that His name will be glorified. And again, verse 11, it just reiterates what we saw there in verse number 7. The central truth of this psalm is reiterated, that the presence of God is with His people, that He is our refuge, and that He is our strength. This morning, you know, we live in a world where not much is constant. We live in a world today where it's ever changing. But folks, this morning we have a God whose presence is constant. We have a God whose presence is unchanging. We have a God who is an ultimate source of comfort and protection. And listen, when we feel overwhelmed, guess what? We can rest in the assurance that God Himself is with us. Take your Bibles and flip. You're there in Psalms. Just look there. Psalm 61. I didn't have this written down, but it just came to mind. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse number 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, there's sometimes in life when there are just situations that overwhelm us and we can't possibly deal with it. That is when we need to be led to the rock that is higher than us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our God in heaven. Verse number 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Verse 4. And so here's what we need to do. God, He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our God. He's the one who's higher than us. So here's what we need to do. Verse number 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our shelter. He's our ever-present God. So what do we need to do? We need to hide ourselves in Him. We need to abide in Him. And not just for a little while, but the Bible here in chapter 61 says forever. We need to be with Him forever. Listen, it's easy to be with God when things are going good. It's easy to be with God when things are going well. But then when things are falling apart, that's when we need to be with God the most. Be still and know that I am God. This morning, God is our refuge. He is our strength in times of trouble. Even in the face of natural disasters, political upheaval, as God's people, we need not fear this morning. Because it's God's power and His presence that is greater. God this morning is our peace. God this morning is our strength. And He will bring about His purposes. And so this morning you find yourself in times of uncertainty. Well, those are the times that we're called to be still. Those are the times we're called to trust in God. Those are the times we're called to recognize His power, His sovereignty, His love, His compassion, His authority. And so you say, what is it that we can do this morning? Simple. Trust in God. Trust in His unchanging character. There's a hymn, and I don't think it's in our hymn book, but hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to His promise to be our refuge and our strength. And listen, this morning, when we face trials, and listen, we're going to face trials. You're going to face trials. And when we face those trials, we must turn to God, recognizing that His presence gives us peace. And as we look around and we see the world around us in turmoil, we can find rest in knowing that God is sovereign and His plans will not be thwarted. And as we look around and we see that world in turmoil, guess what? We have a plan and we have a command to take the peace that we have and take it to a lost and dying world, to give them the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who came to be the Savior of this world. And so this morning, be reminded, be encouraged that God, He is our refuge. He is our strength. And be still and know that this morning and seek to abide in Him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.